please take your Bibles to turn to Psalm number 11. Psalm number 11. Psalm number 11. And the title of my message tonight is this: Got to Have the Right Foundation. Got to Have the Right Foundation. And I think you'll see it as we look into this book and this psalm, Psalm number 11. We'll read all seven verses here this evening. I'll read verse 1, you join me on verse 2, and so on down through verse number 7. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. I want you to notice again verse number 3, where we take the message: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And again, title of my message is, got to have the right foundation. You've got to have the right foundation. There's no ifs, and, or buts about it. It's got to be the right foundation. And let's ask the Lord to bless now. Father, we come to you again this evening asking for you to meet with us and speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in every one of our lives. May every one of us take the message personally, because it is. It's a personal thing for all of us. It's something we ought to look at as, this one's for me, because they all are. And Lord, I know that you can take one message and fit it for every one of us tonight. And I pray that we might be understanding that, and that we might allow, Holy Spirit, for you to speak to us. And Lord, bring conviction where conviction's needed. Bring the encouragement where that encouragement is needed. And that comfort where the comfort is needed. God, I pray that you would do exactly what's needed in our hearts through the Word of God tonight. We cannot have one message for every person separately, but Lord, I know there's one message that can fit every person. And so, Father, bless and help us now tonight. And, of course, if there's somebody here not saved, may they get saved tonight. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many times, you know, when we preach about things, we preach about the shape that our world is in. And I know that that's sometimes very kind of depressing when you stop and think of how the world's going. And but the last thing I want for us to do is be depressed, because this world is not our home, you see. We're just passing through. But it does bother me what's going on in our world. But I look at the world problems, and I don't gloss over them. I don't say, well, what's the big deal? I believe there is a big deal. But I know this, that with all the problems in the world, there is still the wonderful hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never give up. We must never give in. You know, we look through history, and we see Christians that were willing to be burned at the stake for their stand with the Word of God. Today, if someone looks cross-eyed at us, we can't handle it. Most Christians today would never make it like they did back in the old days when folks were burned to the stake, or they were imprisoned for their belief. And but we know the world is in a mess, and sometimes we get to a place, I'm afraid, where we ask the question, well, what can we do? Sometimes we even get to the place, it's sad to say, where people say, well, might as well just give up. And I know there's a lot of troubling things, but I know I have a God that's on the throne, amen. I know I have a God that's able to take care of us. And I know a lot of things look bad in our world, and in fact, it gets to the place where a lot of people come to a place in their life where they feel like, is it worth living? And I'll have to say this, yes, it's worth living. And if you're saved, it's worth living, amen. Now, I understand a lost man having no hope, but he could have hope if he would trust Christ as his Savior. Jesus makes a difference in people's lives. And I was I think, you know, so, like I said, so many people, they think that life's not worth living. And I've mentioned, and I will continue to mention this about suicide. I don't try to hurt anybody. If there's someone in your family has done this, I feel for you. And it's a horrible thing for a family to go through. But, you know, I can't preach to those who have already gone on, but I can preach to those where when the thought comes, you know what the truth is. And so I warn, because I understand we live in a world where people say, you know, what use is there? What hope do I have? And I believe this, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can take care of us in the difficult times. And so it's sad. We look and we see young people today that are, they feel like there's no hope. I mean, not even out of their teenage years. And they think it's so rough in the teenage years. It gets hard in life. Life is difficult. But we don't walk that way alone if we will give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the problem when you leave the Lord out. When you try to make it on your own, you're asking for troubles. And so I understand the turmoil that we go through. I understand that we're going to go through hardships. Life is difficult, no doubt about it. Every one of us know this. I was under the impression that when people got older, everything got easier. You know, because what happens? You get older, you're able to retire, you don't have any responsibilities, it seems like. But then all of a sudden you realize, you know, life doesn't get easier. The ground gets lower. You know, I mean, to scratch your head takes some thought, you know, to reach up there and scratch your head and to go pick up something, whether you ought to go upstairs or not, or wait till you know, you have a couple reasons to go up. But life sometimes is difficult. And even as we get older, it gets difficult. The doctors give us news that we don't want to hear, and sometimes we go through some things that, I mean, let's face it, we just don't want to go through, but we have somebody that's able to be with us as we go through the troubles and the trials in life. But we look and we see a lot of people have no hope, and I thought, what is the reason? Why is there, even in the realm of Christianity, why are those that can, it seems like, man, they can make it, they go through troubles and trials, and yet, you know, it seems like they're still just on top of things, and then there's others who don't even have as many difficulties, and it seems like they're falling apart. I think I understand what the reason is behind it, and it's not because I'm smart, far from it, but the Bible's right. And the Bible said there in verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? Not what can the world do. What can the righteous do? You know who the righteous are? Save people. What we can do if foundation is destroyed? And I thought, you know, it's sad that we don't look to the foundation of everything. We look at everything that is built. You know, when you go to buy a house, it's good to check out the foundation. You can have pretty windows. You have a nice roof on it. But if the foundation is crumbling, you got a problem. You know, a lot of times, you know, we have inspections and things like that. But there's a foundation, you know, when a foundation is bad, you could put all kinds of money in the cosmetic fixing up of the house. You could paint the house, put new windows, new doors on it, and put a new roof on it, and it really looks nice. But if the foundation's crumbling, you've got a problem. The foundation is very important. You ask any builder how important that foundation is. And when we built our house, they had to make sure everything was level. You know, if I'm glad I didn't do it, because my house would really be in bad shape. A foundation is very vital in the building of that house, because everything stacks upon that. If the roof goes bad, you can replace the roof. But if the foundation's bad, you might have a nice roof, but there's still going to be problems, and that house is going to end up crumbling. So it's important for us to have the right foundation in life. And the beginning of the right kind of Christian life is a good foundation. Because if the foundation is rotten, then things are going to come crashing down. That's what I'm talking about here tonight. Why is it that with Christians so oftentimes that our lives are falling apart? Why is it we're just frazzled and we're like at the end of our rope and we're like, what in the world can I do? I'd have to say this. We need to look and see, what are we building upon? Because we're not building on the right foundation. We're asking for trouble. We're asking for trouble. Why are so many lives crashing today? Why is it young folks, you see, they grow up and all of a sudden they get the teenage years and they seem still be pretty good as long as they're with mom and dad, and then get past mom and dad and all of a sudden their life becomes a mess. There was a foundation problem. You see, you can have all the best lumber in all the world, but if your foundation is not right, then you've got all kinds of problems. The reason lives are falling apart is because the foundation they're building upon. I believe there's some important parts of the foundation that we need to be building upon. I know the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when I'm going to give you several different things, I think four of them I'm going to give you here tonight. So when I get to the fourth, you can start packing your bags, get ready to go home. But the truth of the matter is that there's four things I think of, and there's probably many more than that, but because of the time, but we're gonna look at four things tonight that I think that we need to build that are part of that foundation. And I think of the foundation, I think of the concrete and the blocks and everything else that goes involved in that and the preparation of that. And I believe when we look at a foundation, what will help us in our lives. You see, tonight, this is why I wish everybody would come to church. Because I know that these things will help us have the right kind of life. Instead of having to rebuild, why not build right the first time? Amen. You know, we could get some fly-by-night guy to come in here and try to build us something, or we can get somebody who knows what they're doing, and we can look at the work that they've done and say, hey, I want that person to build my house. I want that person to build my church. I want somebody that will give us a good foundation. You know, I thank the Lord for our building we have here. You know, this is a beautiful building, and what, we're 20-some years old in this building. A lot of people, they come and they go, how old's your building? And I, what is it, 23, 24 years old now, I think? Something like that. I tell them like that, and they're like, man, it looks like it's only a couple years old. And of course, that's because I'm standing in front of it, make it look better. But what happens, they look and they say, man, it looks so good. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. It was built right. It was a good foundation. We got these nice brick on. I remember we were thinking about putting siding on, and we put the brick on. The building's built well. It's not perfect. There's old age wrinkles in this building, right along the roof. Now, don't go looking at them while I'm preaching, but there's some old age wrinkles, all right? So don't be too upset, because when you go look in the mirror, you got some of those things on you. But the reason this building, I believe, is staying so well is because there's a good foundation that everything is built upon. And there was some thought put into it. Fact of the matter is, this is amazing. I've got in my desk there a list of all the nails and the screws and the parts that were used to build this room, this church. Albert Kaufman was a builder. He kept a list. I mean, the paper's only about that wide, but it's like 8.5 or 11 inches long, like regular pace. And he literally wrote down, if he bought a box of screws, that box of screws is listed there. He bought so many nails, that's listed there. A concrete, I mean, everything that went into this church is right there. I have to say, that took some thinking and some working on to build this building. You know what? We've got to put, listen, our lives are more important than this building. We need to put some thought into the building of our lives. And what we're going to do tonight is look at some things that, as part of that foundation we build our lives upon. Number one is this, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let's go there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 11. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Here's the foundation. Listen to it. Which is Jesus Christ. He is that foundation. Sometimes I'm afraid we look at Jesus as the laborer of our life. Now, I believe that the Lord is able to work in our lives, but he's not just the laborer of our life, and only when we need him. I need thee every hour. I need thee, the song says. We need him, not just in the times when, I have a bill that's due. I need some food. I've got some sickness. We need him every hour in our life. Our life has got to be built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just the provider and where we just say, give me all the time and never see him again. He's not just our protector, although he is our protector, but he's much more than that. There's someone we can call upon when we're scared. He's not just our supplier like a lumber yard. He's not just there so that we can build some things. He's that many ways. But you see, we've got to understand something tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our foundation. We're built upon Him. Yes, I can go to Him to build my life. Yes, I can go to Him for protection when I'm afraid. But I understand this, that everything, understand now, I'm talking about saved people tonight, everything in our life has got to be built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what about lost people? What foundation do they have? They have no foundation. We may have some pretty pillars, but the pillars don't make it. It's the foundation that makes it. And our life has got to be built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, because here's the thing, everything is tied to the foundation. And if Jesus is our foundation and our life is tied to Him, it'll work out. So, preacher, I mean, life is miserable. I hear sometimes young people, I've heard young people go, man, life just stinks. You might want to check and see what stinks. It might be you. Life don't stink if you know Christ. Life don't stink if you put your faith and build your life upon the Lord. He's our foundation. He's everything that we need to build upon. And many times people have, as we preached this morning, many times the problem is it's all about myself. I'm trying to build on myself. Young folks do it, but so do adults do that. We think sometimes, this is our problem as adults sometimes, we think since we're an adult, we know everything. I think we ought to be adult enough to know we don't know everything. We need the Lord. Build our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But number two, the foundation of the Word of God. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Go to verse number 24. We used to sing a little song in Sunday school about this portion of Scripture. But don't let that scare you. A little Sunday school song is based upon the Word of God. Therefore, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like, notice, doeth him, not just hear it, but doeth them. You know, a lot of people know what they ought to do. It's another thing to do what you ought to do. He said, I will liken him unto a what kind of man? Wise man, that's what we ought to be, a wise person, all right? Which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a what? A rock. All righty, now verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not. You see that? They've heard it too, just like the other guy did. They both heard it. Difference is, the foolish man, what's happened? And doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The sand. Well, that's different than what the wise man built upon. The wise man built upon a what? A rock. The foolish man built upon a what? On what? Sand, all right? Foolish. Wise. There's a difference there. Well, we'd be smart to understand this. Now, again, you say, well, that's a little kid's song. Well, that's a little kid's song, but it's an everybody truth. Let's see what happens. So the rain descended, verse 27. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell, and great, get that now, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we find here that there's the foundation of the Word of God. He said, listen, if people need to hear these things, but then do those things. May I say this, every time we come to church and every time we read our Bible, we're listening to the things of God. You know what would be wise for us to do? Do what God says. Do what He says. People say, well, I know what the preacher said. Well, I'm glad you know what the preacher said, but I want you to understand, what did God's Word say? And if you're in the right kind of church, the preacher's going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm not going to give you what some guy in California has said. I'm not going to give you what I think. What I'm talking about here is what God has said. And the foundation is the Word of God. I thought, you know, we're so blessed tonight to be able to have the Bible. You know, you think about this. I think about how the printing of the Bible, how blessed we are to be able to have a printed Bible. You know, in some countries they people only have a page of the Bible. Tonight we're able to hold the Bible in our hand. We've got every word of God. Every word that God wants us to have is right there in the Bible. That's our foundation. Our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our foundation is the Word of God. I thought, you know, thank the Lord God has given us a Bible, but whoa, wait a minute. We're responsible for this book. We need to obey it. You know, when you went to get a driver's license, they gave you a book, didn't they? You're responsible to know what that book says. You're responsible to know how to drive that car. They give you some things in there. You know, and it's not going to do much good. All of a sudden, you've got a problem, and the police officer says, hey, what are you doing? Didn't you read that book? You go, I never read it, but I got it. And I believe every word of it. And I believe there's a lot of King Jamesers tonight in churches today that they believe this book here. But let me tell you something. We got to be more than just believers. We got to be doers of it. We got to build our lives upon the Word of God. I look and I see the lives that are not built on the Word of God, and what do we see? We see a mess. I look at families that go from generation to generation. I was talking to my wife one day, and I said, you know, I just don't understand why. You know, I understand that people make mistakes and people weren't taught right, but I don't understand how it goes from generation to generation to generation. The same problems all the time. You say, preacher, why does that happen? Let me tell you something. It's not because it's in the genes. It's because it's the foundation where there's the problem. You build, here's what's happening. We as parents have got to teach our children and nurture them in the things of this Bible so they build their lives upon the Word of God and keep building that, because what happens when they don't build upon the foundation, they're going to have all kinds of problems. But they don't know what the Word of God says. That's why it's important to be in church. That's why it's important to listen to the Word of God. Pay attention to those things. But I look and I see generation after generation. I'm like, why? You know, when you look, it's kind of like this. Look at how the generation before you and your family was. All right? Think about it right now. Where are you at today? I'm going to tell you where you ought to be. More spiritual than that other generation. You say, why? You have the Word of God. They could have too, but if they're not building upon that, here's the thing, you can build on the right foundation. You say, well, you know, my mom and dad didn't teach me right. No excuse. No excuse. But I didn't have, no excuse. Why? That book right there nullifies us blaming the other generations. God's given us His Word. We've got to do that. If we keep our head out of the Bible and don't build our life on this foundation, we're asking for all kinds of problems. So I wonder sometimes, why does a generation, next generation, the same thing, the same thing, same thing? And the sad thing is that a lot of people, they look at it as the normal thing. I watch folks destroy their lives and destroy their children only to go and destroy their grandchildren. And then what happens? Those children destroy their kids. And it's like, was it ever going to stop? Here's the good thing about it. It can stop when we start building our lives on the right foundation. Lord Jesus Christ, on the Word of God. You see, a lot of times people look at life as being that is a mess and looking at it as normal. It's not normal. I think we've come to a place in America today that we're looking at a lot of weird things that people are saying is normal. Did you read that thing about the astronaut got in trouble for getting into her wife's bank account from outer space? They're going through a divorce. She is divorcing her wife. They're going through a divorce, and while it is, I'm going to call it that, it is in the space station up there, is on the computer accessing, and said that she was the other she and was checking out everything. What a mess. I'm telling you what, I was reading the story, and I'm like, it said about her wife. And I'm like, oops, somebody had a typo. It was no typo. It was a weirdo. I better be careful. This is going to go on the internet. That's all right. She's a weirdo. All right. Isn't it amazing how we take it as being normal? In America, let's look at it as normal. What a horrible thing. You say, how can that happen? Because the wrong foundation. You see, it's a dangerous thing to leave the Word of God out. Look at Psalm 81. Psalm number 81. Verse number 11. Scary verses here. Look, by my people, didn't say lost folks, my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would none of me. Israel, that's God's people. Well, what did the Lord do? The Lord just kind of blinked at you and said, well, that's all right. No, look what verse 12 says. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust. And they walked in their own counsels. You say, preacher, I don't understand. What's the big deal? I'm saved. I'm okay. No, you're going to do your own thing. God might just give you up to your own lust. I believe there's a lot of Christians today suffering. I said Christians suffering. Because God said, all right, you want to go that way? Go that way. And all of a sudden, God's not fair. No, you've been stupid. You've been ignorant about it. You don't understand. You need to build your life upon the foundation. And that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have a Bible right now, and that's part of that foundation of our life. So we've got to build our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to build our life upon the Word. But then we have something else. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. We'll back up to verse 19. Why don't we do that, all right? Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know what I believe another one of the parts of the foundation is the church. I said the church. Amen. The church. You know, I can't tell you enough how much church ought to be a big part of your life. Amen. And you know, well, preacher, you know, what's it matter? It matters an awful lot. It matters an awful lot. You say, well, I think I'll be able to handle it. Let's see how well that has gone. Doesn't go well. The foundation, that's the Word of God. You know, I think about God's Word tells us we need to be in church, and the fact of the matter is tells us we need to be now more than ever. Let's go. I know it's Hebrews chapter number 10. I know it's something that we've read many a times before, but I want you to see once again Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Now, you've read it, you know what it says, but I want you to do this. I want you to look at it as if you've never seen it before, and let's look at it very carefully. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Notice what it says, not forsaking. You understand what that means? Don't stay away from, all right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, there's those that do that. But God said, don't do it. You say, but other folks aren't there all the time. So what? Don't forsake the assembling as the manner of some is. But, now here it is, but exhorting one another, and so much the what? More as ye see the day approaching. What day is approaching? That's the Lord coming again. You know what God's saying? Man, as it gets closer to my coming, you need to be in church every time doors are open. Amen. I'm talking about everything's going on. I mean, we just need to get to a place where, you know what? I am going to be there. You said, preacher, but I don't see what is so important. I know. It's when we let those little things slip by us and that what happens, it begins to. Do you know that little bitty ants can destroy a foundation of a house? We've got to be very careful to build our lives upon. You say, preacher, you're just trying. You're just trying to make it where everybody goes to church. Well, I think everybody ought to go to church. We've got revival meeting coming up. You say, who ought to be here? Everybody whose name's on the roll. But you know, it's going to be a problem because it's Monday night. It's Tuesday night. You know, we do the wash on Tuesday night. Wear dirty clothes. Just sit in a different place. We'll have dirty clothes section here and clean clothes over here. How about that, all right? See, well, that's when we do the groceries. You know Walmart? Isn't Walmart open 24 hours? There you go. Fix that one for you. And that's the night we go and get the car filled up with gas. Guess what? They're open late too. You'll be able to do it. You know, the fact of the matter is there's really no excuses. Legitimate ones. Our excuses. No, I'm not saying if you work and your job is a night shift, I understand that's a different thing. But I'm saying this, because your favorite program's on. You say, but Jeopardy, this guy's winning lots of money. Forget about it. We need to build our life around church. Parents, it's important. Build your children's life around church. You just tell them, say, man, something going on, you be there. You be there, be faithful. Be in those things. Why? Everything is important. Because what happens, we begin to allow our children to think that some things are not important in church. Foundation. You say, well, you know, I don't understand. We're going to build right, but if you build beautiful walls on a bad foundation, you're asking for trouble. For all these years, we've had a church here preaching and teaching the Word of God, and I thank the Lord for it. 37 years, we haven't been in this spot 37 years, 2 years at a boarding home, 10 years down there, and the rest of the years we've been right here. I guarantee you this, every time we've come in this place, we've had the Word of God preached. And listen to this. I'm talking about when we have Bible school, the Word of God is taught to everybody. When we have funerals, we preach. When we have weddings, we weep. I mean, we preach. There's always, every time we come here, the Word of God is going to be brought forth. And that's the way it should be, and that's the kind of church we ought to want to be in. Like I said, I think I mentioned this morning, some people, they choose a church because of the gymnasium they have. Well, I'll just have you know that we have something before they even thought of gymnasiums. We have a barn. I mean, way before they ever knew what, they couldn't even spell gymnasium, and we had a barn, amen? It's not, I'll tell you what, I thank God for that barn down there, but I'll tell you what, that barn, it is not one that much compared to what this building is right here. Church. Building your life upon church. Every time you've come here, you've never came and heard false teaching. You never came to this place and found a false doctrine being taught. But I'll say this. If we'll be honest, whether you're grumpy or not, I think every one of us have to be honest about this. We'd have to say, this church has changed our lives. It's changed my life. You say, well, you're the preacher. Don't you think coming to church all these years might change someone's life? Yes, because I'm preaching the Word of God. I believe tonight, if we'd be honest about it, everybody in this room ought to be able to get up here and give a testimony. We're not going to do it, but I think we could give a testimony of what the Lord's done for us, but I think we could also do this, give a testimony of what church has done for me. The Lord established the church. He established it. Gave himself for it. Church. You see, church is more than a marrying and burying place. It's a place of getting that foundation right and building upon it. I say thank you to all of you that have helped keep this place here. Your tithes and offerings keep the place going. We were down in that little building down there, and we had free pews that weren't nailed to the ground. Every time you wanted to make sure you got up before the row in front of you did. Because if you grabbed the pew in front of you to get up, and they already got up, you're pulling that pew down in your lap. And if there was someone light on it, you pulled it, and all of a sudden you ejected them into the next row. You always want to sit behind someone who's a little bit heavier than you, so that if you pulled on it, they weren't going anywhere. We had a bunch of Bible. We used to baptize in a hog, or in a hog trough. It was a horse trough. Horse trough, just a little round kind of horse trough, about this big. I remember a fellow I was baptizing. He was like, what, 6'2"? And I looked at that, and I looked at him, and I thought, it ain't going to work. And what we had to do, we had to set him down in it. You'd set them down, then they would be sitting there, and they'd crunch their knees up, and then I would baptize them down in there like this. And I went down there, and as I came down, all of a sudden, like this was the edge of the baptistry, I come down like this and was like, and I'm like, I got to get them down there some way. And so I did this. I got my hand over there, and I over his face, and I got my hand on the back of his neck, and I just took him by his head and just went, and pushed him down. He had to go to the chiropractor, but he's all right. I brought him back up. I baptized one time in a creek. I baptized a man, or not a creek, in a pond. We went out there, and he said, yeah, this will be fine right here. And I'm going through it, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried the likeness of his death. I went down, it sounded like a watermelon hit a rock. I went down and went, boom, water went this far up on his face. And I pulled him up and said, you all right? And he goes, yeah, there's a rock under there. I said, let's go deeper. So we went in, we took a few more steps, went in deeper, I baptized him. He got 1.5 baptisms. I'm thankful for this place. Now we have a baptistry and heated water, and water deep enough we don't kill people. Amen. We got pews that are nailed to the floor. And then God blessed us with the property down here. And boy, thank the Lord. God's good to us. But you don't understand, you know, God's given it to us, but you know who paid for it? God's people. Go with me on this. Understand where it's coming from. But missionary or someone comes by, and a guy from Dan's church came up here the other day to help us set up the sound system here, and he said, man, this is beautiful here. I said, boy, it is, isn't it? He says, you all own that house and that building down there and that barn? I said, yeah, that's ours. And I said, you know the good thing about it? It's debt-free. He said, no. I said, yeah, our people, they rob banks for a living. He said, really? I said, no, I meant really, yes, it's debt-free. He said, that's amazing. I said, we paid this building off in 4 years. We paid that house off in 4 years. Do you know how that happened? You say, well, God, yes, I know. God blessed. But you know what happened? It was you. It was the people that sat in the pews that thought this place is important. Yeah. Daniel, I guess it's all right for me to say about it, but your dad, me and him, when they get that building down there, that house, that barn, we had voted about getting, you know, buying that house and that property down there. And so Mr. Dubb said, I'll go with you. And I said, all right. I didn't know he was going to get me in trouble. We laughed about it there at the hospital even. But we went down there to bid on that house, and we were supposed to go like to $100,000 on the house. We got there and started the bids, and when it was below $100,000, I thought, ooh. And all of a sudden, the woman from the bank said, I'm sorry, but it cannot go for less than $114,000. And I'm like, whoa. And she goes, we got to have $114,000. Anybody bid $114,000? Mr. Dubb's sitting next to me. It's not his job on the line. He goes, do it. I said, what? He goes, do it. I go, I can't do that. He goes, do it. I said, just a minute. I go, we can't do this. He goes, many people don't know about this, but I think it's all right to say it. He said, I'll pay half the payment. $114,000. Now, a lot of folks never knew that, but you know what it was? It was a heart for the church. Yesterday, I went and we hadn't played those throw the stupid golf ball, try to kill somebody game. Mr. Dubbs made those. I went up there, found him in the barn. I said, you know what? I think it would be good for us to play that game today. We got out there. I hate that game. We got that game, we were playing that game, and I was thinking, when we prayed for the meal, my thought went again, is I miss him. But I thought, what a heart he had for that property down there. I want to say, preacher, I'll pay half the payment on that. Now, he wanted us to pay it off in 1 month, but sorry, that didn't happen that way. But you know, faithfully. Why? Church. He'd walk up those steps in pain because it was church time. It's important. Now, I would have never bragged on him to his face because his head would have swelled. But that was one of the things about that man that really impressed me. He loved this place. You know what? We all ought to love it. You and I probably couldn't have paid that half a payment. But many of you gave. Because it wasn't him that paid it all off. It was all the people putting together to pay for this place. It's important. Why is it so important? It's what we build our lives upon. You see. Build your life on church. On Jesus, the Word of God, the church. But may I conclude with this? And it's not any, I believe it's very important too. Christian friends. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter number 10, verse 25. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But, here it is, the righteous, that saved people, is an everlasting foundation. The righteous are saved, folks. You know what's important to us? We build our life around the right kind of friend. Right kind of friends. I said the right kind of friends. Amen. I can't think, you know, that's why I like the different activities we have. You know why? Because we're around the right kind of friends. I mean, some of you are kind of iffy, but you know what I mean. But that's the right kind of friends. It's so nice to be with God's people. That's one of the wonderful things about church. Around the right kind of friends. You don't get this out the world. You don't get this at work. I mean, think about it. We're able to be around God. I believe God wants us to be around the right kind of friends. The Bible says, it says this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I just don't have any friends. You know why? You're not very friendly. You say, but you don't know me. I don't have to know you. I know what the Bible says. To have friends, you got to be friendly. Nobody wants to be friends with a porcupine. Right? Why? That's sticky every time. Nobody wants to be a friend with a skunk. I tell you, isn't it something, though, how a little puppy could be a friend? And you got a little puppy, man, it's just as sweet as can be. You just pet that thing till he's raw. Just pet him, just, you know, why? What's he used to do? He goes and snuggle up to you. Now, I'm not saying, don't you dare go snuggling up to me when you go out the door. I'm telling you right now, unless my wife wants to, that's all right, we'll step in the office. But, I'm not talking about that stuff, but you know what, you want to have friends, be friendly. Amen. Some of you right now are going to poke my mind's eye out. Thank the Lord we're friends tonight. At least I hope so. If you're not friends with everybody in this room, and there's an altar, you can get right with God. Build your life on the right kind of friends. Because you know what the wrong kind... Remember I said about Amnon? Remember he had the wrong kind of friend, didn't he? Talked to him and said, man, you could have Tamar. It'll be all right. We'll just hear it. Here's a good idea. Got his life all messed up. Messed up Tamar's life, too. See, it's important what kind of friends you have. Build your life on the right kind of friends. You say, well, you know, my friends, they kind of... I'll tell you what. If you got a friend that's dragging you down, you get rid of that friend. You go, but I don't... You know, I want to try to change them. Yeah, let's see who's being changed. Let's just see who's being changed. You know, I don't know. I'm just kind of past this place of trying to make it sound, well, that's all right. To where, you know, hey, let's look and see where it really is. Let's see what's really going on. It does matter who your friends are. And we ought to value our friends. And realize this, they're not perfect. You say, well, how do you know? Because we're not perfect. None of us are. But I can build my life with the right kind of friends. I can build my life on the church and the Word of God and build my life upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that foundation. Why is my life falling apart? What are you building on? If you're building on your own desires, you've got problems. If you're building on what this world has to offer, you got problems. You know what? I'd rather you get the foundation. As you start building, especially young folks, this is the wisest thing in all the world. There's a lot of adults in here that didn't have what you have tonight. They didn't get warned about it. They grew up in a church where, you know, somebody put some little drips of water on their head and they felt like they were going to heaven. But you've heard the truth. You can start building now. You don't have the first and the second floor of the roof on yet, but if you'll start building your life on the right foundation, that life will all go together and you'll have a good, wonderful life that you'll look back on and say, I'm glad I started out right with the right foundation. Will you build on that foundation tonight? Four things: Jesus, the Word of God, church, and of course, friends. So very, very important. Let's build on that foundation. You gotta have the right foundation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time tonight. Lord, bless the dear people. We love these dear folks. Lord, I've just tried so hard tonight again just to give them exactly what the Word of God says. Father, I don't think we can dispute what I've talked about tonight if we'll look to the Word of God. Now, if we listen to the world, surely there's a lot of arguments. But there's no argument when we look to the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray for our young folks tonight, how important it is for them to build on the right foundation. And Lord, there's adults in this room that, Lord, they had to kind of rebuild because the foundation was crumbling, and now they're building on the right foundation, and their lives are different. Thank you for what you do in our lives. Thank you for being so good to us. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed here this evening. I ask you, if you die today, you know you go to heaven. It's a preacher asks that all the time. I know, and I'm going to keep doing that. I want to make sure you're going to heaven. You ought to be thankful that someone cares enough about your soul to give an invitation. And that's why we do it. If you're not sure you're saved tonight, you need to come at the invitation time, and we'll show you in the Bible again how you can be saved, how you can know 100% sure you're going to heaven. But Christian, tonight, God spoke to your heart, maybe, and you say, preacher, I know these things. Well, that's a good thing to know it, but you got to build on the right foundation. You can have all those things sitting in a garage somewhere. You can have all the boards and the concrete and everything else sitting in a garage somewhere, but it's not doing much good unless you build with it. And tonight, we have the Word of God that we can build with. We know what the truth is. Now, let's build our lives upon it. But if you don't, don't say you haven't been warned, because the Word of God's true, and the Word of God's warned us. We see it all around us, and we look and say, how come folks' lives are falling apart? It's what they're building on. Maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight. We need to look at things a little bit differently, see the importance of those things we've talked about tonight. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would get a hold of our hearts about these things. Lord, I know sometimes we have predetermined ideas about stuff. But Lord, I know tonight that you have something for us that is so important. We cannot deny that those things are important. We gave scripture about them all too. So, Father, speak to our hearts in this invitation time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.